Greetings, brethren in Christ and friends listening to this What Saith the Scriptures broadcast of Wilton, Wisconsin, USA. This is R.K. Campbell with another message in our series of Christ and the Psalms. We have been looking briefly at Psalms that especially speak in prophetical language of the Savior, the promised Messiah, the Christ. We have looked at Psalm 1, 2, 8, and 16. We shall now consider Psalm 17. If you have a Bible handy, please open to this psalm and follow with us as we read some of the verses. The first verse indicates that this 17th psalm is a prayer of David as he cried to Jehovah his God. He was oppressed by wicked men and compassed by deadly enemies, and desired deliverance from them, as is stated in verses 9 through 14. But we shall see that one greater than King David is in view in this psalm, for certain verses can only be fully applied to Jesus Christ. They are only applicable to him in his holy life lived on earth. Verse 3 says, "Thou hast proved mine heart. Thou hast visited me in the night. Thou hast tried me and shalt find nothing. I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress." Christ's lips were undeceitful. There was nothing in his heart of self-will or disobedience to his God. He purposed in his heart that his mouth would not transgress. The Apostle Peter writes that he did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again, and so forth. See 1 Peter 2, verse 22. He was proved and tried as he walked amongst men, surrounded by evil enemies. The Bible tells us Jesus knew no sin, and in him is no sin. See 2 Corinthians 5, 21, and 1 John 3, verse 5. Therefore, as that holy sinless man, he could die for our sins and be made sin for us. Precious, wonderful Savior, is he yours? In John's Gospel, it is recorded that the Lord said, "The prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me." Chapter 14, verse 30. There was nothing in the heart of the blessed Lord Jesus that responded to Satan's temptations to act according contrary to the will of God. He was ever the righteous one, doing what was right in perfect obedience to God. In verse 4, we read, "Concerning the works of men, by the word of thy lips, I have kept me from the paths of the destroyer." The word of God, spoken from Jehovah's lips, was hid in his heart. It was in his affections. So when Satan, the destroyer, came to tempt the Lord to do what he indicated, Jesus replied each time with the written word of God, "It is written." In this way, he was victorious as a dependent, obedient man over Satan. By using the word of God, which was hid in his heart, he was kept from the paths of the violent and evil one. In verse 5 and in the following verses, we see the Lord Jesus as depending upon God to keep his feet in God's path. He prays, "Hold up my goings in thy paths, that my footsteps slip not." He addresses his God as, "Thou that savest by thy right hand them which put their trust in thee, from those that rise up against them." Verse 7. He looked for the intervention of God's power to protect and save himself. In all this pathway of the Lord, walking in uprightness and purpose of heart not to transgress, depending upon God to be kept in his paths, and heeding God's word, keeping it in the heart, he is an example to us, his disciples, today. Peter says in his epistle, "Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps." 1 Peter 2:21. If we have accepted Christ as our Savior that died for our sins, we are born anew and have a new nature that does not sin, but desires to obey the Lord. We are also indwelt by the Spirit of God, and are thus enabled to observe the perfect pattern and example of the Lord's walk on earth, and to follow his steps. We need to note the Lord's example of purpose of heart, dependence upon God in prayer, and clinging to the Word of God and using it against Satan and his temptations. Then we too can have victory over sin and Satan. Remember, the life of the Lord Jesus Christ is the one and only example for the Christian to follow. Notice verse 14. The Lord desired to be delivered from men of the world, which have their portion in this life. The wicked are men of this world that Satan is the god of, and all they have is in this life. They have nothing beyond death, and leave all their substance to their children. For the unsaved, there's only judgment and everlasting punishment after death. See Matthew 25, verse 46, and Hebrews 9, verse 27. In contrast to the empty portion of the men of this world after death, the Lord and his disciples can say, as expressed in verse 15, "As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness." The Lord Jesus looked on to resurrection glory. He now beholds the Father's face in righteousness and is the very image of the invisible God. For the believer in Christ, what a glorious portion awaits us. If called to die before the Lord comes for his own, we shall fall asleep in Jesus, that is the body, and wake up in heaven beholding the face of our precious Redeemer. Then at the resurrection, the promise is, we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. 1 John 3, verse 2. The Apostle Paul assures the believer that the Savior shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. Philippians 3, 21. But what an awful prospect awaits the unbeliever. They will wake up in Hades, in torment, and realize that their life without Christ, the Savior of sinners, was an empty dream, and they are lost in the blackness of darkness forever. Dear listener, if you are not trusting in the sinless Savior who died for your sins, surrender to him now and say with the psalmist, "As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness." Now let us turn to Psalm 18. The inscription at the head of this psalm tells us that it was written by David in the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. This same psalm, or song of praise, is found also in 2 Samuel chapter 22, with the words of the inscription stated as the first verse. This deliverance of David is a type of a greater deliverance. Prophetically, it expresses the Messiah's, the Christ's, praise for deliverance and resurrection from all his enemies and the sorrows of death. There are utterances in this psalm which cannot be matched in David's life. One has stated, quote, "The true anointed one of God, Christ our Savior, in his sufferings and the deliverance from above, as well as his exaltation, and his coming kingdom constitute the deeper prophetic meaning of this great inspired hymn." The 18th psalm is therefore a messianic psalm. End of quotation. The psalm opens with the words, "I will love thee, O Jehovah, my strength. Jehovah is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my buckler, and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon Jehovah, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies," verses 1 through 3. God is owned as his rock, fortress, deliverer, his strength, buckler, horn of salvation, and his high tower. The personal pronoun "my" is associated with each of the above seven things. It is personal possession made good to faith and trust. We can only give a brief outline of this wonderful psalm of 50 verses. In section 1 of verses 1 through 6, we have praise for deliverance from the jaws of death. The next section of verses 7 through 18, we see the manifestation of the power of God in raising Christ from the dead. The third section of verses 19 through 27 present God giving the Messiah glory. And in the fourth section of verses 28 through 42, we see Christ's enemies subdued. Then in the fifth section of verses 43 through 50, we have Christ prophetically portrayed as the head of the nations. We see verse 43. Strangers shall submit themselves, and God subdues the people under the king. Verse 48 says, Thou hast delivered me from the violent man. This is a prophetic reference to the Antichrist of the coming day, who will be cast alive with the political Roman beast into the lake of fire burning with brimstone by the Lord Jesus, when he comes as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. See Revelation 19, verses 16 to 20. Now let us take a brief look at the next messianic psalm, Psalm 21. We shall read verses 1 through 6. The king shall joy in thy strength, O Jehovah, and in thy salvation how greatly shall he rejoice. Thou hast given him his heart's desire, and hast not withholden the request of his lips. For thou hast met him with the blessings of goodness. Thou settest a crown of pure gold on his head. He asked life of thee, and thou gavest it him, even length of days forever and ever. His glory is great in thy salvation. Honor and majesty hast thou laid upon him, for thou hast made him exceeding glad with thy countenance. It is evident that this psalm speaks of the ascension of Christ to heaven and his being crowned with honor and majesty and highest glory. We are told that the Targum, the Chaldean paraphrase of the Old Testament, and the Jewish Talmud teach that the king mentioned in this psalm is the Messiah or the Christ. For centuries, ritualistic churches have rightly used this psalm in celebrating Ascension Day, commemorating the return of the Lord to glory and his presence there. Again, Christ could behold the countenance of his God and Father with exceeding joy. At the cross, he was cut off in the midst of his days and was forsaken of God while bearing divine judgment for our sins. He asked life and was granted this request in resurrection and ascension. He greatly rejoiced in God's salvation and deliverance, and is now victorious in heaven as the captain of our salvation, who will bring many sons, all true born-again believers in Christ, into that glory also, according to Hebrews 2, verse 10. His path to the throne of glory has been by the way of the cross and the thorny crown evil men gave him. Soon Christ will come out of heaven with many crowns upon his head and his armies following him. If we love Jesus Christ, we will rejoice in his glorification in heaven and in his coming exaltation on earth, where he was crucified and is rejected even now. The rest of this psalm is all on the line of the exalted king's glorious manifestation on earth in power. Thine hand shall find out all thine enemies. Thy right hand shall find out those that hate thee. Verse 8. This last verse says, Be thou exalted, Lord, in thine own strength. So shall we sing and praise thy power. This is the language of faith which every heart that loves the Lord Jesus Christ echoes forth.